You're listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Friday edition. I want to, before I forget, wish you all a happy 4th of July Independence Day. I hope you all celebrate it Monday. The campus will be closed, so don't try to come to the campus because all the buildings will be locked. And it gives students the time to refresh themselves, catch up on their sleep, and yes, finish their papers and study for the exams. Now back to the Donald Trump speech. I had planned originally just to have one show on the speech, but I broke it up into three shows and really took about a third of the speech each time, and both before and after the speech gave my commentary. Where we left it last time was Donald Trump was going over the negative impacts of free trade. Now, I'm a big advocate for free trade, but I agree with Donald Trump that it needs to be fair. And the problem is several of our trade partners, notably China, simply doesn't play fair, doesn't play by the rules. They're not the only country. You see, we welcome industries, foreign investment from all countries, but we're the exception. The rule is many of these countries put up what's called non-tariff barriers. They make it difficult and largely impossible for U.S. companies to, for example, invest in their country. In China, they have to have the 51% ownership, seldom mentioned. Why, if you come into the United States, while we do have a few loops that you have to jump through, if you want, you can buy companies. You can buy assets or companies, or start your own company. So I'm a big advocate of the free movement of capital as well as goods and services. And that's important because a country needs that to prosper. But you need to also make sure if you're going to have agreements that the parties follow those agreements, the terms of the agreements. And Donald Trump is absolutely right. China is a notorious manipulator of the currency. And I almost hesitate to get into this subject because I can explain it, but it loses a lot of people. But I'm an economist. I should be able to explain this. And the most simple way to explain it, if you make sure by intervening in the currency market that your currency is undervalued as opposed to where it would be if market forces were determining the value of your currency, what does that mean for your exports? They're cheaper, and that means you're going to sell a lot of goods and services abroad, and that's exactly what China has done. And there have been complaints and complaints from the United States, the European Union, other countries about this. Now, you need to understand what's driving the Chinese, the communist Chinese. Well, they have a large population, and that population needs to be employed. They're worried about jobs, too. Although, eventually, the Chinese population will actually decline, and that will happen, just like it has declined in Europe, Russia, because they are below the replacement rate. They still have millions of people that need to be employed. You see, what's happening in China happened in the United States. At one time, during the revolution, about 90% of the people worked in the agricultural sector. They had their own farms, or their business was related to agriculture. What has happened since the Industrial Revolution in the 1800s, continuing into the 1900s. More and more people that were in farms now work in either factories or now the service sector. There's been a wholesale transition from agriculture to manufacturing and now to services. You need to understand the big trends going on. And China is in the stage from going from agriculture to manufacturing. The United States is one of the leaders of the world in terms of the service industry. So you need to get the big picture first. Now, Trump is right that many of these manufacturing jobs that the United States was really dominated for many, many years has now gone to many countries, including China. And why some of this is very much free and fair trade and benefits both countries, which is exactly why most economists, I would say the overwhelming majority of economists today, believe in free trade. And to a certain extent, Donald Trump gives that lip service, but I'm trying to make a political point. Why this issue is important and a central issue to Donald Trump, and I agree with him, it needs to be addressed. And obviously, if you were working in manufacturing and now you're no longer working in manufacturing, and manufacturing generally had average to high wage rates, you're hurting. And you've heard it, those jobs are not coming back. Well, that's not true. Jobs can come back if you have the right economic conditions. See, my concern with Donald Trump is twofold. He sounds like a protectionist, and that's not going over well with the elites at all. And I understand why, because they're almost to a man or woman of free traders. They understand David Ricardo, an English economist long dead, the idea of comparative advantage and their gains in trade to both countries. That's the textbook economics. What the textbooks don't get into or mention very briefly is that's a nice theory. But what if you have countries intentionally manipulating the situation that give them an unfair advantage? What do you do about it? Part of it is renegotiate the deal, but more importantly, make sure that the terms of these free trade agreements are followed. And I'm very much not for multilateral type agreements, but again, I agree with Trump, it should be bilateral. So he should, and emphasized, he would declare China a currency manipulator and go to the World Trade Organization. That should have been done years ago. Now they're going to come back and say the United States is a currency manipulator. And we are, in retaliation for what the Chinese are doing. But what happens when you get into the trade area? And to a certain extent, it's happening right now. That's why I'm going to get off it. You lose people. This message resonates to a certain extent amongst former factory workers and people that are living in these towns, cities across the United States where their plants are now closed, boarded up, and they're never coming back. And I think you're giving them false hope that they will, unless you can convince them that they will come back. What I'm trying to say is you need a broader message, Mr. Trump. When you get into trade agreements, it becomes quickly technical and you lose your audience, even though you're right. And they understand it. And they understand that we've had corrupt politicians, both in the Democratic Party and in the Republican Party, that have sold out the American worker. It makes a great soundbite. But what do most Americans, especially those that are working, care about? They care about taxes because they have to pay them. Even if they're not paying income taxes, they are paying payroll taxes, Social Security, Medicare, and disability. And that's the majority of the American people. And for those who are not working, they're not paying income taxes, and they're certainly not paying Social Security or payroll taxes. So you need a message that resonates across not only the middle class, but also low-income individuals, as well as people on welfare. You need a message that would encourage them, that's easy to understand, and that you can explain in a few sentences or a paragraph or two at most. So that's why I emphasize the tax aspect to this. Now, most people will say that's even worse than trade. Yes and no. We need free, fair trade. And Mr. Trump did an outstanding job in his speech highlighting the problems, first of all, that we have and the seven steps that he would take if he were elected president. And Mr. Trump is right. At least 20 million people should be working full time at good paying jobs, not only with good hourly wages, salaries, but also benefits, health insurance, and retirement. And that's the number one concern and interest of the American people. What about those 20 million? And really, it isn't 20 million. It's somewhere between 20 and 30 million. Because I've been on this subject now for years, and it has not really improved. You need every month at least 300,000 jobs being created. Roughly 150,000 to keep up with population growth, and another 150 to 160 to truly have the unemployment rate go down. And you need that month after month after month after month. And where you have close to 95 million people that are not in the workforce, and of those 95 million, somewhere between 20 and 30 million really want to work. They're not retired. They're not stay-at-home moms or dads raising a family the early years when they have babies, nor are they college students. In other words, people that, if they had a good-paying job and could find it, would work. That's 20 to 30 million people. All of these numbers are estimates. No one knows the exact number. These unemployment figures that you get every month from the Bureau of Labor Statistics are just that. They're samples. They're surveys. The household survey of individual households and the establishment survey of employers, mainly businesses, but also governments and other organizations. Now, I'm getting into this for a reason. You need a speech that really gets into the tax area. And the speech, you need two speeches, actually, and you really, over time, need to blend them. I'm glad you gave this speech, but it needs to be amplified and followed up and combined into one speech. And it takes practice. I notice you're reading your speech. I never read a speech. I know you prefer not to read the speech. I suggest that you, as fast as you can, develop a speech in the economic areas that you can give off the cuff. It's not that hard if you practice it enough, and you will be practicing it quite a bit after the convention. You're fairly average reading a script. It takes time to become proficient at reading a teleprompter. I refuse to do it. I've done it, but I'm much better without a script. But there are not many people that are comfortable public speaking. You don't have that problem. And I know you feel better when you just talk. I'm talking right now. I don't have a script. I do have your speech in front of me, by the way. Here's what I'm leading up to, and I got to play the last part of your speech, so I don't want to go long. And I've been hammering this. Right now, you got two legs of your campaign. One is the immigration, the second is the trade. You need at least one more, actually two more. National security, you more or less have done, but the American people, as you well aware, except for the trade area, are not interested in foreign policy. What they're interested in are jobs, the economy, and how does it affect me? How does it affect my pocketbook? And that's why the tax area is critical, and it should be a part of every speech you give. It's not enough to say, and I'm glad you said it, but you need to amplify it, and let me find that part. It's towards the end of your speech, and I read it on the last show. This includes massive tax reform to lift the crushing burdens on American workers and businesses. Amen to that. But how, Mr. Trump? And I know your website has your position paper. The problem is it's not the best position. It's good. It's all right. It's competitive with the other candidates that are no longer candidates. But you need something that captures the imagination of the American people and a message that resonates with the American people. Changing the tax code puts people to sleep. I don't care how you want to change it. I've been hearing this for decades, and so have you. Well, my idea is we do this. My idea is we do that. And I do that. And that's how I sound. But it doesn't capture people's attention, imagination. It's not inspiring. It's a bore. So you need a tax policy. I like to refer to economic incentives, positive economic incentives, that encourage what? Encourage business formation, capital formation, encourages savings and investment. And that, and our current income tax system does none of that, except for the very rich that can afford tax attorneys and CPAs to structure their transactions so they get a tax benefit, which is not the way it should be. That's getting it backwards. That's why I recommend that you must come up with a broad-based consumption tax. And fortunately for you, you have a head start if you would embrace it. Embrace it and make it yours. That's what I'm trying to encourage you to do. That's the fair tax, but I would change it. I call my version fair tax less. And you can explain, I'll explain it in 2 minutes. We replace all federal taxes. Remember, this is my version. That means no personal income tax, no corporate income taxes, no partnership, no estate taxes, no gift taxes, no capital gains taxes on investments. If you have a capital gain on your investment, such as real estate, it's yours. It's not the government's. No alternative minimum tax. And finally, and most importantly, no payroll taxes to pay for Social Security, Medicare, and disability. We're doing away with all those taxes, which means no more tax returns, and the gross paycheck of everybody is their paycheck. No more deductions, no more prepaying your taxes. That is gone. That's not hard to say. One tax replaces all federal tax. Remember, this is my version, fair tax less. First, I'll give the bad news and the good news. We have to fund the government. The government is too big. It needs to be downsized. And what I mean by downsized, you need to close at least 8 departments. That's how you get rid of the deficit. Close permanently. I don't want to have time to get into it, but that needs to be part of it. Because the way it works is, whatever we collect in the fair tax, 90% becomes the budget. The remaining 10% pays down the debt. The reason I emphasize this, the problem today is not too few taxes. It's government spending that's out of control. And the only way you're going to get a handle on that is first convince the American people that you're serious, that you understand we have a bloated, fat government. And that means permanently shutting down 8 departments. I think you could do 10. And you need to say that. Remember, this is a bold program. When you're fighting for your life, and I think you've been in this in terms of businesses, a lot of things have to be shut down. And that's the problem. We have a political class, Democrats and Republicans, that don't want to do that. And we have a bureaucracy that depends on that. We're talking radical change, but when you're in an emergency, and we are in an emergency, we need to turn this country around. You need to put people on a budget. I think you run your campaign like that. Well, you need to run the federal government like that. We need to downsize the federal government, and that's something that you need to add to your speech. You're not addressing that. Because I'll tell you what many economists and I am saying. When are you going to balance the budget and how? And you have not talked about that. You stayed away from that. You need to get rid of the bureaucrats, and there are hundreds of thousands of them in Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. is the new Rome, and it's prospering, and they're never going to change it because they're all in their comfort zone, and most of them have been bought and paid for. They're corrupt. So neither representatives, senators are going to shut down any agency, any department, or any program. The way you deal with it is a wholesale shutdown of the government. Declare a national emergency. It is a national emergency. We can't pay our bills. Every year, we're borrowing hundreds of billions of dollars. And if we don't act soon, it will be trillions of dollars every single year. And before you know it, in 4 years or 8 years, our national debt will be over $30 trillion. And they'll say, well, it's a small percent of the GDP. Yeah, it's over 100%, heading for 200%. Now let me get to taxes. One tax replaces all federal taxes. The tax rate, this is the bad news, is 20%. I wish it were lower. It's a broad-based consumption tax. All new goods and services that sold will be taxed at 20%. Some people will try to confuse you and say, well, it's just the sales tax. You're going to just add 20%? Are you out of your mind? No. Right now, and I always give the loaf of bread example, when you buy a loaf of bread, a $1 loaf of bread, right now about 23 cents of that dollar pays for all those other taxes that we're going to replace. So we're actually going to have a small tax cut from 23% to 20%. In other words, the prices will be more or less where they are right now, but when people go to the cash register and it's a dollar loaf of bread is rung up, at the end of the week or the end of the month, 20 cents of their total receipts are going to be going to where? The federal government through the state. And we pay them a small fee, the retailer and the state, to collect the taxes. That's the bad news. It's 20%. It's fair. It's transparent. Everybody knows it. Everybody pays it. Now, one of the criticisms, and the reason I say this is not a sales tax, I've yet to have a sales tax, and we have them in Texas, and I think 47 states have sales taxes. This is not new. It's not hard to understand. Businesses know how it works. The state knows how it works. But what's different about this? One of the criticisms of a sales tax, as well as payroll taxes, such as Social Security, Medicare, and disability, is they're regressive. In other words, there's a higher incidence of the tax on low-income people. That's why we have today a progressive income tax. So we have to deal with that criticism. How do you deal with that criticism? You address it. And the way I address it, and this is where I'm fundamentally different from the fair tax, we still have a prebate, but I'm a little bit more generous. Every single American citizen, adult, 18 years and old, will get every month a check for $1,000. So if it's a husband and wife in the household, the husband gets a check for $1,000, the wife gets a check for $1,000. Why are we giving them $1,000? This is not a new welfare program. This is to make the tax system fair, and I think that's what you want to do, and that's what I want to do. That's to pay the taxes on the necessities of life. People live in different locations. People buy different foods, different clothing, different housing. But the way it works is $1,000 a month, $12,000 in a year, and that equates to if you spent $60,000, on new goods and services, you would pay 20% of that. 20% of $60,000 is $12,000. So your prebate, which you get at the beginning of the month, offsets your taxes on necessities or the essentials of life. You need to eat food, you need clothing, you need a place to live, you need transportation. You also need insurance. Some would say that's a little too generous. I don't think it's too generous. Depends where you live. Depends on your lifestyle. What this means is roughly between 50 and 60% of the American population would pay no taxes at all. No income taxes, no payroll taxes. All of those taxes have been replaced. Everybody pays the fair tax of 20%. And everybody gets that $1,000 a month prebate, including you and including Bill Gates, including Warren Buffett, even George Soros. We'll send him a check too. How does it work? After $60,000, every dollar that you spend, 20% of that goes to the federal government. It's not hard to understand. And every time I've explained it to people, they love it. And obviously, what does it do? It motivates people to make more than $60,000. Who wants to earn just $60,000? Or if it's a husband and wife, more than $120,000. Encourages the work ethic. It rewards work. And after you're above that threshold, whether you're single or married, if you're single, anything above $60,000, you're going to pay 20%. If you're married, anything over $120,000, you're going to pay 20%. But if you save it, you don't have to spend it. If you save it, your investments are not going to be taxed. And that includes real estate. And note, I didn't say old real estate. Any new buildings. If you sell your home that you bought a long time ago, the capital gain is not taxed. There's no income taxes because there's no income taxes anymore and there's no capital gains tax. The reason I emphasize this would encourage a massive inflow of capital from not only U.S. multinational corporations abroad, they would flock back to the United States. You don't have to penalize them for bringing their money back. They will want to bring their money back. This encourages capital formation. This encourages the expansion of investments. It encourages new business formation. This will make America great. It will make America wealthy again. And we will be the envy of the world. That's what needs to be done. It doesn't take long to explain it, and you don't even need to read it over a teleprompter. And they'll be cheering you. I've said before you even run that the candidate that would make immigration, especially illegal immigration, an issue will win. The candidate that will make illegal immigration together with comprehensive, I hate that word, let's say massive, I like your word, massive tax reform, namely go to a broad-based consumption tax such as the fair tax or my version fair tax less, and I have no pride of authorship there. You can make it any way you want, but you need to get rid of this legacy income tax system. It should be thrown in the trash. We have the technology today to collect the taxes without invading people's privacy And you understand that. You have to submit a tax return, probably cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars, and then you have to pay the taxes on it. No. You'd pay taxes when you spend the money, and if you don't spend the money, you save it, invest, you're not going to pay taxes. And what would happen? We would have full employment, and we would have a booming economy. Now, I'll have to play, because I'm really running out of time, the last part of your speech. And I wish you all a happy 4th of July.
She has it completely backwards. Hillary Clinton unleashed a trade war against the American worker when she supported one terrible deal after another, from NAFTA to China to South Korea. It doesn't matter. No matter where she went, the American worker was hurt. And you will be hurt worse than ever before if she becomes president of the United States. That I can tell you. A Trump administration will end that war by getting a fair deal for the American people and the American worker. The era of economic surrender will finally be over. It'll be over. You're not going to see it anymore. Although I can't guarantee it, because after me, they'll probably start doing it again. But we will have 4 and maybe 8 great, great, great productive years, and we'll never go back, and we'll make sure we never go back. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much, everybody. I appreciate it. A new era of prosperity will finally begin. America will be independent once more. Independent once more. Doesn't that sound great? Under a Trump presidency, the American worker will finally have a president who will protect them and fight for them. We will stand up to trade cheating. Cheaters, that's what they are, cheaters. We will stand up to trade cheating anywhere and everywhere it threatens the American job. We will make America the best place in the world to start a business. We'll hire workers and we'll open factories and we'll get rid of these horrible regulations that make it impossible to do business in this country. This will also include massive tax reform to lift the crushing burdens on American workers and businesses. We will also get rid of all of these rules and all of these problems and all of the bureaucracy, which are destroying, absolutely destroying, our job creation capacity, which we used to be the best in the world, and now we're getting close to the bottom, folks. We're getting close to the bottom. Many people think that these regulations are an even greater impediment than the fact that we are one of the highest taxed nations in the world. We're also going to fully capture America's tremendous energy capacity. This will create for our workers, and that's what we want, for our workers, growth for our economy, and begin reducing our budget deficits, which are massive. Yearly budget deficits, massive. Our trade deficits, we don't even want to talk about it. Our budget deficits are massive. Hillary Clinton wants to shut down energy production and shut down the mines, and she wants to shut down, and she said it just recently, she wants to shut down the miners. I want to do exactly the opposite. A Trump administration will also ensure that we start using American steel for American infrastructure. And aluminum. Okay. Just like the American Steel from Pennsylvania that built the Empire State Building. That's what we're going to do. It built the Empire State Building. It will be American Steel that will fortify America's crumbling bridges. American Steel. It will be American Steel. It will be American Steel that sends our skyscrapers soaring, soaring into the sky. Beautiful sight. More beautiful with American Steel. It will be American Steel that rebuilds our inner cities. It will be American hands that remake this country, and it will be American energy mined from American resources that powers this country. It will be American workers who are hired to do the job. Nobody else, American workers. We are going to put American steel and aluminum back into the backbone of our country. This alone will create massive numbers of jobs, high-paying jobs, good jobs, not the jobs we have today, which everybody agrees are bad jobs. We're going to create massive numbers of good jobs. On trade, on immigration, on foreign policy, we are going to put America first again. We are going to make America wealthy again. We are going to reject Hillary Clinton's policy of fear and her policy of absolute nonsense because it's not working and it's grossly incompetent and we can't take it any longer and we're not going to take it any longer. We are going to embrace the possibilities of change, but real change, not Obama change, real change. It's time to believe in the future. It's time to believe in each other. It's time to believe in America again. This is how we are going to make America great again for all Americans, for all Americans. We're going to make America great again for everyone, greater than ever before. And I promise you, if I become president, we are going to be working again. We are going to have great jobs again. You're going to be so happy. You're going to be proud of your president. You're going to be proud, proud, proud of our country once again. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you very much.
That was Donald Trump, and the speech is very appropriate. It's declaring America's economic independence. I would add one more line to the speech. It's time for all Americans to realize their American dreams. Mr. Trump, you know you face opposition from Democrats, Republicans, the donor class, the lobbyists on K Street, that will fight you tooth and nail. You need to get the American people on your side. And you need to add to your speech something that can change the direction of this country quickly. Trade negotiations take time. What does not take time, if you lead on this, is to pass what you call massive tax reform. I prefer to call it fair tax less, by scrapping our income tax system and replacing it with a broad-based consumption tax along the lines of the fair tax or my version of it or your version of it. We need to get the American people working again, especially those 20 or 30 million that are no longer in the labor force that want to get back to a good-paying, full-time job with benefits, health insurance, and retirement. Why trade negotiations or renegotiations can eventually do that. People need to be encouraged. They need incentives. They know that the tax system is unfair, and their biggest burden in terms of taxes is not personal income taxes on the low end, it is payroll taxes. That's why you need to go to a broad-based consumption tax, what I call fair tax less. That could change the country around in less than a year. Why? It's a game changer. It would provide the incentive for American corporations, both here and abroad, as well as foreign investors, to invest in the United States, bring back those plants and equipment. It would give us a booming economy and a construction boom, both residential, commercial, and in plant and equipment, because there would not be a tax on capital and there would not be a tax on income. We would go to strictly a tax on consumption. In other words, a consumption tax is efficient. You don't waste $500 billion a year filling out tax returns. No one would fill out a tax return again. It invades their privacy. The founding fathers would be aghast at such a system. It is simple, it's fair, it's transparent, and it would be a big tax break for the middle class. I hope you rewrite your speech, expand your speech, and instead of reading from a teleprompter, do it like you do it at a rally, but stick to the script. I think you're fully capable of doing it. It's not that hard. I do it every day. But it takes time to understand taxes, and you need to connect it with spending, which means the budget for the federal government would be 90% of whatever the fair tax collects, with the other 10% paying down the debt. And to accomplish that, you need to close at least eight federal departments. The problem is government spending is out of control, and we need to rein in the big spenders of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, because we need to greatly expand the private sector where wealth, jobs, and income are produced. As you say, we need to make America not only great again, but also wealthy again, and a good economic program quickly implemented in the first year would do that. I recommend this to you. I hope you do it. And I hope you continue pounding on not only trade, but the invasion of this country by 30 to 50 million illegal aliens, building the wall, deporting those that are here illegally, but more importantly, putting America back to work, and that means all Americans, including out of that 95 million that are now not participating in the labor force, roughly a third of them could and would come back to work if the economic incentives were right and jobs were available. The American people are concerned about jobs, they're concerned about the economy, they're concerned about security, and they're also concerned about their country being invaded illegally, people breaking into the country, committing crimes of the illegal aliens. People want immigration law enforced, and they're expecting it. You need to do this quickly, decisively, because there are just too many that will oppose you. You have less than 2 years, some would say less than a year, if you're elected president, to accomplish that. And they'll be expecting results fast, and if you deliver the results, they can't stop you. If you continue with this overly complicated, inefficient income tax, you're not going to change direction, because spending will continue to go up, taxes will continue to go up, and unfortunately, by the end of your 4 years, there won't be much to see. Time is limited, you need to be bold, and you need a message that resonates with the American people. You need a message that holds out the realization of the American dream for all American citizens. Thank you. I hope you celebrate your Independence Day. And if you have time, please listen to the last three shows. And I really strongly urge that you listen uninterrupted Mr. Trump's speech declaring America's economic independence. Have a happy 4th of July Independence Day. And now, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.